You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From Milwaukee to Marshfield, where passion meets purpose and policy meets people, this is the Maggie Dawn Show.
We, as Republicans, as Democrats, as independents, as liberals and conservatives,
get ready to challenge the status quo with a fresh perspective on the issues that matter to you.
If it was bad before today, I cannot believe how much worse it has gotten.
If we don't band together and protest, our democracy will be gone.
Breaking down the complex world of policy and politics with clarity, conviction, and just the right amount of fun.
And I'm freaked the frickin' frack out.
Lawyer, economist, and fearless advocate for the truth, here is Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody. Happy Monday. Hope your week is starting off with a bang. Our news week is certainly starting off with a bang, which seems to be absolutely de rigueur. What we've got every day is a ton of news, and I've got the best guest co-host to help break it down with me and for each and every one of you and with you this afternoon. I've got Matt Rothschild joining me from our studios in Madison. Hello, Matt. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Maggie, it's a pleasure to join you, and congratulations on all those awards you hauled from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association event on Saturday.
Thank you so much, Matt. It is really a privilege and a humble one to work with so many award-winning broadcasters here at Civic Media. Tons of awards, I think like 11 first places, 19 second places across the network. So much to be proud of, and very much want to celebrate all of my colleagues in broadcasting and everybody that works on this fine program, including you, who will be in the guest co-host chair with me every Monday going forward, at least when I'm fortunate enough that your schedule permits you to be here with me. It promises to be a very interesting discussion. Let's jump right in to the news as it has been happening today. A lot of the news focused on what can be described as pretty shocking statements by a sitting president of the United States in his Meet the Press interview yesterday with Kristen Welker. We're going to get there. But I wanted to start off with statements by Secretary Carr today on CNBC, basically saying that it looks like the Trump administration is going to attempt to revoke CBS's broadcast license. I'm going to repeat this for everyone. The Trump administration is going to try to revoke a broadcast television network's FCC license. This is insane. This is what fascists do. But before we get into it with Matt, let's take a listen. This is Cut 10, Jacob. This is Secretary Carr on CNBC. Take a listen.
Over the years, the FCC has stepped back from enforcing that public interest obligation. I think the FCC should do what Congress wants us to do and enforce those laws. We're going to see where this investigation goes.
So are you threatening to pull their license? Wouldn't that be a pretty drastic step?
Well, it's not a threat. That's a penalty that is in the Communications Act that if you don't...
But when was the last time the FCC pulled a broadcast license?
Yeah, it's been a long time, and I think that's part of the issue. If you step back, you know, trust in the national mainstream media is at an absolute low right now. That's not just my view. Jeff Bezos himself did an op-ed where he said that. But what's really interesting is that actually local stations, local TV stations have a lot of trust. And so the agenda that I'm trying to run at the FCC is to empower those actual local television stations to serve the public interest. Because what we've seen is you've got national news media, ABC, NBC, CBS, and they're exercising more and more control over those local TV stations. I don't think that's a good thing for the country. So we're trying to reverse that.
So much to unpack there. First of all, well, thank you, Secretary Carr, for celebrating Civic Media and other locally based media companies. We'll take your support there for certain. But make no mistake, what Secretary Carr didn't articulate there is a valid legal basis by which you would proceed to revoke a broadcaster's license. We can talk about the importance of locally based media until we're blue in the face, but that says nothing about, well, that means we should just yank all the licenses of all of the national broad. Is he saying that about Fox, who actually admitted in court filings that they lie all the time about stuff and that no one should take anything that they say at face value because it's all just entertainment anyways? Matt, what did you make of this news? I found it to be truly shocking.
It's quite stunning. First of all, that he's just admitting it in public, but it's part and parcel of the agenda of the Trump administration and the ideology of the Trump administration, which you correctly pointed out, Maggie, is fascism. This is how authoritarians, this is how fascists operate. They go against the institutions of civil society. They go against the universities. We've seen that. They go against the judiciary. We've seen that. They go against the media. They go against protesters. So this is part and parcel of that kind of an assault on civic society, on civil society. And so nothing would surprise me with these guys, though. That's what I've been saying all along. The downside of the Trump election is so far down. The risks, the downside risks were so enormous when folks went to the polls and elected this guy amazingly again. Mm-hmm. And now we're just starting to see some of those downside risks coming to bear, bearing fruit. And so, yeah, I mean, I looked at the provisions of the law, and you're the lawyer here, not me, as to how they can pull a license. And I'm sure they'll be able to find something in there saying, you know, they're not operating in the public interest and just yank the license.
So this is where we get into who defines the public interest according to what metric. Donald Trump, and we can see this in everything that is occurring in the higher education space, Donald Trump has said, and his supporters have said repeatedly, that whatever is in his personal interest is also therefore ipso facto, by definition, also in America's best interest, and therefore in the public's best interest, which is an absurd concept, which our entire nation's history actually says just the opposite, that we don't conflate personal political interests with our nation's interests or public policy, that those are different things. But he's saying, yeah, it's whatever I think is in the best interest of the country that will define public interest. And if I want to go after NBC, CBS, Fox, gosh knows what, I should damn well be able to do so.
I mean, this is like royalty. This is, you know, ruled by a king, ruled by a monarch. You know, in the Middle Ages, the measurements were depending on the king's foot. You know, if the king's foot was less than 12 inches, they'd have a new size for the foot. And that's what Donald Trump's doing with our legal system here. Yeah. You know, whatever I say goes. Whatever I want is legal.
On an everyday basis, ladies and gentlemen, you're just joining us. We've got Matt Rothschild with us. He hosts the amazing podcast you can find at Civic Media's website, on Spotify and Apple Pods, called Wisconsin Forward. He's going to be joining me as a guest co-host on Mondays. He's here with us to break this down. I find it utterly shocking, I feel a deep, almost personal sense of betrayal. Donald Trump has taken a constitutional oath now twice to defend and uphold our laws and the Constitution of the United States. Like, that's what it says. We're going to get to the fact that he admitted to Kristen Welker yesterday that I have an oath to uphold the Constitution. The man is confused. But even if he's confused, Republicans know that he's supposed to uphold the Constitution, including the First Amendment, that CBS can say things that the president disagrees with, and that simply doesn't make it susceptible to having its license revoked. That is insane. Why is this okay, Matt, in your opinion, for so many MAGAs and Republicans? Why is Brendan Carr going out there like this? This isn't a guy who's been a bad faith actor his whole career, but what he's saying in that interview with CNBC is absolutely in bad faith.
Yeah, but the thing about these Trump folks is they tell us out loud what they're going to do before they do it. You know, mass deportation, greatest deportation in U.S. history. We saw that at the Republican convention, you know, talking about letting cops do whatever they want. He issued an executive order a week ago to do that. Yep. I mean, he'll, you know, not respecting due process. You know, he acts like the Constitution is a yellow light that he can run whenever he wants.
Yeah, it's bizarre. Each day is sort of like, ooh, what fresh hell is this? Like, what other long-standing American principle, valuant tradition is Donald Trump about to take a meat grinder, chainsaw, axe, whatever it is, pick your commercial destructive equipment. But it's truly shocking. And this comes as just last week, the World Press Freedom Index, which is compiled by Reporters Without Borders, published its updated index, and it indicates that U.S. press freedom is now at its historical low point. So, like, this is having a very real and chilling effect on media. And the this here, of course, is Donald Trump's viewpoint that anyone who says anything that isn't, yes, dear leader, we agree, you're right, even when it is belied by easily observable realities, that means that you don't get to broadcast on our public airwaves. I mean, this is...
And Maggie, it's already having an effect. I mean, look at yes. Washington Post and Bezos. You know, he gutted his opinion page so that they wouldn't be, you know, going after Donald Trump anymore. Even at CBS, which Carr is threatening to pull their license, CBS 60 Minutes was already, taking things a little bit slower, a little bit easier on Donald Trump because of the pressure. So this assault on the press is having its effect even before they pull the license.
That's Matt Rothschild. This is the Maggie Dawn Show. You want to join us. What do you think? What do you make of Secretary Carr's threats against CBS coming this morning, frankly threatening to shut CBS as a network, as a broadcaster down? Can you imagine turning to your local CBS affiliate and there's just nothing there? When's the last time that happened? Because that's what we're talking about. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Now, here is the interesting meta context. And so here's where we go wonk, Matt. Because I am curious as to whether or not this is just another piece of MAGAverse kayfabe or performance art to create leverage. Because at this moment, there is a lawsuit going on between Donald Trump and CBS News. And we heard reporting, I believe it was now 2 weeks ago, one of the producers of 60 Minutes, longtime, very well-respected producers, quit CBS very publicly over this lawsuit and effectively what he perceives as soon-to-occur CBS capitulation as directed by its parent company. Now, more on that in just a second. But the merits here, the details of what's going on in that lawsuit are very important. Donald Trump sued CBS for allegedly editing the Kamala Harris interview. Remember, this is the one that he refused to sit down for. It's like you could have rebutted your opponent by simply sitting for an interview, but he refused to, for selectively editing Kamala Harris's presidential candidate interview with CBS News. Now, here's the wild part, is that the unedited version, it's not distorting. And again, that's sort of a matter of editorial subjective opinion. And listen, editorial and editing interviews, because they don't fit in the site, that is part of what broadcasters have to do. One could argue that the selection of what's edited is, in fact, an exercise of your First Amendment rights of free speech. There's no merit to Donald Trump's lawsuit.
Right. I was an editor for 35 years. That's what we do.
That is what it's in the word editor. You have to edit content. We're going to get into what's exactly going on in that lawsuit, the resignation of this very well-regarded producer, and the bigger deal that's going on that may be driving these performative statements by Secretary Carr. I got Matt Rothschild with me. I got each and every one of you. 855-752-4842. This is the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back, everybody. Happy Monday to each and every one of you. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. On Mondays, I've got a fine co-host with me. His name's Matt Rothschild.
Hey, Maggie, having fun.
Yes, we are. He is responsible for a fine podcast called Wisconsin Forward. You can find his work at civicmedia.us, also on Apple Pods and Spotify Pods, or wherever you consume your favorite podcasts. I know I love his show. I know I love it when he calls me up to, you know, lose my marbles about something on your pod, which I've done as of late. But we're talking about the Secretary Brendan Carr today on CNBC, effectively saying that the Trump administration is going to attempt to yank CBS's broadcast license. This is hogwash. But what's going on behind the scenes is quite explanatory, has a lot of explanatory power. Here's what's going on. Donald Trump personally sued CBS, claiming that their editing of Kamala Harris's presidential candidate interview, which Donald Trump declined to sit for, was selectively edited in a way that was harmful to Donald Trump. Of course, it was selectively edited. That's what editors do. So says former editor Matt Rothschild. When you listen to the unedited version, it's not a deceptive cut of the interview. It's just not. It's a completely garbage lawsuit. But here's what's going on. CBS, which is owned by Paramount, is in the midst of merger talks that CBS, because it's owned by Paramount is looking to sell itself to another Hollywood studio called Skydance. That acquisition, oh yes, it needs approval from the Trump administration. So the controlling shareholder of Paramount, a woman by the name of Sherry Redstone, she has been saying that she favors a settlement with the Trump administration. Yeah, she's willing to pay the old extortion fee so she can cash in and get even richer herself after she sells her company to this new Hollywood studio. It's just pure extortion, naked greed and self-interest. And in fact, mediation was set to begin last week between Trump and CBS over this very lawsuit. Perhaps the mediation isn't going so well. You think that might create an incentive for Donald Trump to dispatch his lackey, Brendan Carr, to get on CNBC and threaten CBS in a public forum, somehow hearkening to, quote, public interest, which is garbage. And in fact, on April 18th, Paramount's board met and outlined acceptable terms for the CBS lawsuit settlement. Like, they've actually talked about this. So, Matt, is this all just another version of the Donald Trump grift?
It's a shakedown for sure. I mean, Redstone stands to make, you know, $500 million if the thing goes through. And guess who the person is who decides whether the thing goes through or not? Brendan Carr at the FCC.
Right.
So there's just tremendous leverage that Trump has. He's trying to get as much money out of the settlement as possible. And since she's about to make $500 million, you know, the price of settlement's going up, so... You know, that's what he's going to do. He's going to try to get every last dime out of her before they approve the sale. Or, you know, maybe they're serious. Maybe they will just go full fascist and yank the license.
It's stunning how this has nothing to do with the public interest. I mean, that's the thing that's sort of like completely mind-boggling at a level. Is like Sherry Redstone doesn't care about the public interest. She cares about her pocketbook's interest and $500 million. Brendan Carr doesn't care about the public interest. He cares about appeasing the dictator-in-chief in the Oval Office. It's and here us little guys, us regular people, you know, people may turn on their televisions. No CBS. Right. And how long is that litigation going to take? And how much of a chilling effect does that have on other networks like ABC, NBC, CW, Fox and the like?
And there may be no PBS either.
Oh, yes. Soon to be coming. That's happening. I mean, Voice of America, that has been, maybe they thought they were going back to work today, but it turns out they're not. That's reaching, or used to reach, 350 million people worldwide on a weekly basis, bringing the values of democracy to places that actually have authoritarian, I mean, all of a piece. Let's take some calls here. 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. We got Paul from Spooner. Say hello to Matt. What would you like to say this afternoon, sir?
It's devastating to hear what's going on in our local lawmakers. Why are they not saying anything? Why are they not fighting for us? You know, I've got Tom Tiffany up here in northern Wisconsin that is doing nothing. And then we got Ron Johnson who's going to do nothing. Are they all going to sit and do nothing? What's the midterms going to be like if they're just going to let Donald do this to us? I'm afraid. I'm afraid to go out and protest because one day they might come after me.
First of all, Paul, I want to say this. Don't be afraid to protest. Go out there. There is strength and there is power. When I raise my voice, that you raise your voice to join mine, join with Matt, to join fellow protesters. But Matt, you want to take a crack at responding to Paul's question?
No, and thanks for the call, Paul. No, I totally agree with Maggie. If you're a U.S. citizen, you need to go out and protest now. You need to raise your voice now. If you're not, if you're an immigrant, if you're on a green card or a student visa, the risk to you is much higher, frankly.
So correct.
I really respect people in those circumstances who are saying, look, it's just too dangerous for me. But for the rest of us who are U.S. citizens, we got to protest now. And Paul's absolutely right. You know, Tom Tiffany, he's doing nothing. He's doing worse than nothing. He voted last week to say that Trump could deport U.S. citizens. That's who Tom Tiffany is.
Yeah, a jellyfish, an invertebrate, has more vertebrate than Tom Tiffany, DVO, Brian Stile, Tony Weed. I'm looking at all you guys. We're going to continue to dig in. 855-752-4842. Also, coming up next, you know Donald Trump just told Enrique Tarrio he loves him? Yeah, that's the guy that helped foment a violent mob to beat up on cops. It just happened to be on January 6th. They just happened to be supporting Donald Trump. So no crime there. Pardons for everybody. Our discussion of the weekend's news, as well as Donald Trump's shocking Meet the Press interview, continues next right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And if you want to watch me struggle with my camera every day, you can also watch the show on Civic Media's YouTube channel, as well as at Maggie Dawn Show on Instagram and Facebook. We'll get it working here. I got a fine guest co-host with me. His name is Matt Rothschild. He operates and runs and produces the content on a fabulous podcast called Wisconsin Forward. You can find that at Civic Media's website, civicmedia.us. I wanted to talk about the fact that Enrique Tarrio apparently was introduced and spoke with the president on Saturday night. Remember, Enrique Tarrio, leader of the Proud Boys, was sentenced to 22 years for his involvement, frankly, his meaningful running coordination. What would we call it? Leadership of the January 6th riots, sentenced to 22 years in prison and received a pardon from the president. He was at Mar-a-Lago with his mother, Zuni Duarte. Hey, interesting. And here is what he said was exchanged between Mr. Tarrio and the president. Here's what he said, quote, this is Tarrio speaking. He, meaning Trump, knew the hardships me and my family faced for three long years. He knew how many times they moved me. He said he is working on making things right. I thanked him for giving me my life back. Trump replied with, I love you guys. What do you think about the Donald Trump saying he loves you guys in reference to the guy that whipped up an angry mob to beat the crap out of police officers?
You know, it's disgusting and disgraceful, but not surprising. I mean, this is the same guy who said, I love you to the protesters, to the, not the protesters, the rioters, the insurrectionists on January 6th. And he's the guy who pardoned them all. So, you know, it's been a love fest from the very beginning. So it's not shocking that he's saying, I love you guys, but it is appalling. I mean, the amazing thing to me for future historians and future U.S. citizens or anyone in the world looking back at what happened in the United States over the last 5 years, 10 years, they're going to look back at this and say, how the hell did the American people reelect this guy after January 6th? And still you have Trump saying, pouring love, giving flowers to all the January 6th rioters. Here you have him still, including yesterday, at Meet the Press, saying the election was rigged against him when he lost in 2020. I mean, it's straight out of George Orwell. It's straight out of 2 + 2 = 5. But that's the world we're living in right now.
Yeah, it is very, very scary times these. Kurt from Madison, you're on the air. Say hello to Matt. What do you got for us?
Hi, Matt. Say, with the last caller, I'm not here to peen on him. This is a message to anybody that feels like he does or she feels like he does. I sit in the luxury seat of being in my 60s and served in the military. Freedom is not free. Maybe we don't teach it well enough. The great line from Dune, fear is the mind killer. You are in a position as those of us who served, even though you didn't serve, to do the same thing. And one of those things you do is you protest. You fight what is right based on our livelihood, our constitution, and the welfare for every man, woman, and child in this country. You cannot be an island. Don't go down that road. Just don't do it because it'll consume you.
Thanks so much, Kurt. An incredibly important message there. And I think it also needs to be contextualized with what you said, Matt, which is, listen, if you are an immigrant, if you are an LGBTQIA plus community member, please be mindful of your literal safety. But I'm going to look at those of us, white folks, people that have platform, people that may not be looking down the double barrel of economic insecurity. It's those people who now have, I would argue, a moral imperative to stand up and be heard. My 80-year-old parents have been to 80-plus-year-old parents have been to 2 protests. My dad always says, this stuff isn't going to come back on me. I'm a retired, 82-year-old white guy living in Milwaukee and Tucson, Arizona. I'm standing up for everybody else who can't be here because it might be unsafe for them to be here.
Right. I want to thank Kurt for the call, too, yeah. Maggie, and say, it's invigorating to go to these protests. It's inspiring. You recharge your batteries. My wife and I went to the immigrant rights rally in Madison on Friday. There was a huge one in Milwaukee on Thursday. Yes. And it's tremendously inspiring to be there. We were at a previous one in Madison where the signs and the costumes were hilarious and creative. And that kind of energy we need. I mean, I've been studying what happened to Chile after dictator Pinochet came to power. And people resisted. People resisted nonviolently. In kind of general strikes or slowdowns, even pot banging out the window.
Yes.
And that led to and gave encouragement to a larger mass movement that ultimately won a plebiscite against the dictator, and the dictator was gone. Dictators don't last forever. But we need to stand up now before Trump takes us even further down the hill.
Well, and I think the reason that you hear such deafening silence from the MAGAverse, which, let's be honest, it feels like it's dominating the Republican Party because it has effectively taken over the Republican Party. But my belief has always been that don't believe the hype. This is actually a small, very much a minority faction. This does not represent at all what mainstream Americans want or are thinking. More people stayed home in the 2024 election cycle than voted for Donald Trump. That ain't a mandate. It ain't even a majority, right? Like, these are the realities. So what we have is an epidemic of disengagement, but I think that's changing. I could say that as of November. But I think people are very much getting engaged. And the reason that you hear silence from Republicans, nearly all of them, with some very little, very too late harumphing from folks like Lisa Murkowski and Ron Paul, et cetera, Rand Paul, excuse me, I'm old enough to remember his dad, it is because they're not afraid of Donald Trump, the diaper Don, the alien, soon to be octogenarian with a 79th birthday coming up in June. They're not afraid of him. They're afraid of you, their voters. And they're afraid of the facts that if they tell the truth and say what's actually happening, their voters would riot and be like, wait a minute. Roll the debate tapes. When did Donald Trump tell me that my daughter's toys that I want to buy her for Christmas are going to be way more expensive and I should just smile and say thank you and may I have some more, please? Like I'm freaking Oliver Twist. I mean, Matt, do you think that's what's going on? I mean, my read when I look around is I see fear, especially in House congressional Republicans. I see fear of their own voters, fear of answering to their own voters.
And that's why they're hiding from these town halls. They don't want to do the town halls because they know they're going to get an earful and they don't want to get an earful. I mean, that's why Van Orden is just doing them, you know, by remote. And it's easier than facing your constituents, right there in person. And it's very cowardly. Republicans who aren't even in the tank are being cowards. I mean, Van Orden's in the tank for Trump. Tom Tiffany's in the tank. Scott Fitzgerald's in the tank. Scott Fitzgerald also voted in favor of letting Trump deport U.S. citizens. Glenn Grothman also voted to deport U.S. citizens.
What's wrong with Glenn?
Poor Glenn. I used to debate him on radio. And he would pretend to have been, I voted for George McGovern. I used to be a liberal. It was crazy conversation.
Because he's not, I mean, the man is not, does not have a firm grasp here on terra firma planet Earth. Like, he's just operating on some other quotient. Speaking of operating in some alternate universe, oh my gosh, everybody just be very thankful we don't live in Oklahoma right now. Oklahoma is about to issue a new public school curriculum, including a wholesale rewrite of their social studies curriculum. And it includes this. This is literally screenshotted from the Oklahoma Academic Standards for Social Studies. There's like a webpage you can go to. Here's what the new curriculum will include: identifying discrepancies in 2020 election results by looking at graphs and other information, including the sudden halting of ballot counting in select cities in key battleground states, the security risks of mail-in balloting, sudden batch dumps, an unforeseen record number of voters, and the unprecedented contradiction of, quote, bellwether county trends. Dear God.
Well, they're just peddling one of the conspiracy after another. The sudden dumping of ballots. This is about the, in Milwaukee and many other towns and cities in Wisconsin, you can't count those absentee ballots until all the other ballots are in and counted. And so, of course, there is a dump late at night. There's nothing evil about it. There's nothing under the table about it. It's how things are done. And yet still every Republican running for office apparently in Wisconsin has seized on that. Trump seized on it. And now the poor students in Oklahoma are going to have to hear about it.
Well, and it's observing that there are large amounts of late night ballots that get counted in large, densely populated counties is about as, nefarious as observing that the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. It's like, that's the way counting ballots works, just like that's the way the earth rotates. I mean, it's a complete nothing burger, but you put the scary music behind it and you call it something and like, ooh, it sounds really scary. Here's what else this new curriculum is going to cost Oklahoma taxpayers: $33 million. That's good. Good fiscal stewardship. No fraud, waste, and abuse there at all, I'm sure. And the chairman of the Oklahoma Senate Education Committee, Adam Pugh, actually recognized, like, ooh, this might be a little problematic. And he introduced a resolution that would have sent the curriculum back to the Oklahoma State Board of Education for further review. You know, a reasonable response to some very unreasonable insanity in a school curriculum. And then, of course, the Moms for Liberty in Oklahoma got involved, sent letters to Republican legislators, said the new curriculum is truth-filled, anti-woke, and unapologetically conservative. And then that immediately killed the resolution that would have sent it back to the Board of Ed. I mean, since when do we want our school curriculums to be, quote, unapologetically any partisan viewpoint, Matt?
Yeah, and to say nothing of being accurate, truthful,
fact-based.
On planet Earth.
It is absolutely bananas. If they want to talk about maybe some suspicious voting patterns, should probably look at 2024, 2020. I mean, my goodness. When we come back, our conversation continues. On the opposite end of the spectrum, we're going to talk about a plan amongst faculty at Big Ten universities to take on Donald Trump collectively with a voice. We discuss next with Matt Rothschild, creator of Wisconsin Forward, a podcast you can find here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Maggie Dawn. Keep it locked.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, everybody. We are rounding out this first hour of the Maggie Dawn Show. We got a fine guest coming up to join Matt and I at the top of the 5 o'clock hour. Her name is Dr. Melinda Brennan, Executive Director of the Wisconsin branch of the American Civil Liberties Union. We are going to talk with Melinda about Donald Trump saying that he didn't recognize, doesn't know, or maybe doesn't believe. Very hard to tell with that man's syntax and use of the English language, but not really convinced that the president has to follow the Constitution. We'll get into that with Melinda. We'll get into some of the more egregious acts by the Trump administration in the last couple of weeks relating to the deportation of American citizens. All that coming up at 5 o'clock. I got Matt Rothschild, creator of Wisconsin Forward, a fine podcast with the Civic Media Radio Network, in the co-host chair with me, as he will be going forward on Mondays. Thanks so much. We've been talking about the fact that Oklahoma is a very weird state, very strange place. And listen, I like a Surrey with the fringe on top just as much as any other gal or guy. But they are changing their curriculum, their public school curriculum, to the tune of a $33 million bill to taxpayers and embracing the big lie of 2020. That's what they're doing. It's pretty freaking scary. But on the other end of the spectrum, today, the Faculty Senate for the University of Wisconsin-Madison is meeting to consider voting on a mutual defense compact, partnering with more than a dozen other university faculties who have approved nearly identical resolutions. It is basically a statement of intent to counter and to oppose legally, if necessary, the Donald Trump's hostility, is a way to put it, unconstitutional suppression of free speech across American university and college campuses, might be more to the point, his hostility to higher education. Lee Horowitz said this. She's an associate professor in environmental studies and American Indian and Indigenous studies, who is among the resolution sponsors. She said this: "This is an urgent situation where we must stand together." That's my tagline. It's always better when we stand together. Matt, I think this is great. I think this is what we hope to see more of across universities. Harvard, their faculty pledging 10% of their salaries to help fund Harvard's legal defense of its raison d'etre, and in fact, the raison d'etre of all higher education. What do you make of it, Matt?
Yeah, very proud of Harvard for standing up, proud of the other Big Ten faculty, proud of our own faculty, the University of Wisconsin. The faculty is meeting right now as we speak on this resolution. I just want to read a little bit of it, if you don't mind,
please.
Maggie. Whereas recent and escalating politically motivated actions by governmental bodies pose a significant threat to the foundational principles of American higher education, including the autonomy of university governance, the integrity of scientific research, and the protection of free speech. And whereas the Trump administration and aligned political actors have signaled a willingness to target individual institutions with legal, financial, and political incursion designed to undermine their public mission, silence dissenting voices, and or exert improper control over academic inquiry, whereas the preservation of one institution's integrity is the concern of all, and an infringement against one member of the Big Ten shall be considered an infringement against all. Therefore, be it resolved that the extent that to the extent permitted by law, the University of Wisconsin-Madison Faculty Senate urges the chancellor to formally propose and help establish a mutual academic defense compact among all members of the Big Ten Academic Alliance. So that's our faculty here at the University of Wisconsin right now standing up for academic freedom, freedom of speech, freedom of scientific inquiry.
It's an important moment. UW-Madison Chancellor Jennifer Mnuchin has yet to go on the record about this resolution from the Faculty Senate. Again, this is the faculty's elected leaders that are doing this. It's not the university's administration. That's an important distinction to make. But she recently authored an op-ed calling the administration's crackdown on international student visas, quote, arbitrary and unjust. UW-Madison, again, this is UW-Madison officials, have also filed declarations in seven separate lawsuits that were brought by other universities to challenge the harmful effects of the gutting of federal research. Listen, UW-Madison is our state's preeminent flagship R1 research institution, known especially for genetic research. And this has happened at Harvard too. When they start cutting the grants, not even reaching, you know, the tax exempt status, the outright attacks, but the gutting of these grants is going to set research in this country back probably more than a generation.
We're talking about research that saves lives.
Cancer research, environmental research, food and drug research, all sorts of things like that. Especially Madison, very preeminent globally, especially in genetics. That kind of stuff, as well as agricultural-based research. This has been a big economic engine in our state, and so much of that is going to be wiped away. Now, there are some critics to the resolution, to the action that the Faculty Senate is, I would say, likely to adopt today as being toothless or putting a bullseye on the University of Wisconsin-Madison's back. I say to that, are you freaking kidding me? They were coming for the Big Ten, now Big 12 schools,
There's already a bullseye there.
Right. Yeah. They were coming for the big state universities and research institutions. They just had to get through Columbia, Harvard, Northwestern, and the rest of them before they got to the Big Ten schools. Folks, we're going to keep this party going on the other side of top of the hour with Dr. Melinda Brennan, Executive Director of the ACLU Wisconsin, and my fine guest co-host, Matt Rothschild, creator of Wisconsin Forward, a podcast you can find on the Civic Media Radio Network at civicmedia.us. I'm Maggie Dawn. Keep it locked right here. News, weather, and sports are next. Then Matt and I will be back with Dr. Brennan.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.